When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
David Wells has pissed a perfect game. 27 up, 27 down. Baseball immortality for David Wells. And the Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Thursday now. Beware the Ides of March. It's March 14th. Let's keep rocking and rolling, man. Opening day is now 2 weeks away. Keith McPherson on The Fan, KM to 2 a.m. Streaming live on the free Odyssey app and live on TikTok, just so they can see me. Just so they can see what I look like. Face for radio, right? Also, obviously, on 101.9 FM, The Fan in New York. As we talk through the sports with the greatest fans in the world, I mean, the Yankee fans are concerned about the health of their ace, Gerrit Cole. I'm a Yankee fan. I'm concerned, but I'm not throwing away this season. I'm not throwing away my hype and excitement for this season. I cannot wait till April 5th. I will be out there all day. I'll probably be off that night from the airwaves, but then maybe do a Saturday show. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, to the powers that be here to do like a Saturday day show at The Fan and then slide right back to the stadium for the Saturday night game, the first night game of the season in the Bronx. Yeah, looking forward to it. Gerrit Cole's not going to be there. It's already done. They already said Cole is not going to be there for opening day. It's going to be a couple months. He's in LA. They are getting second opinions, whatever. Just understand that yesterday, getting that news, that is better news than what we thought. Two nights ago, I said I leaned into the worst. Tommy John, here it is. Why are they lying? Why are they making stuff up? Why are they taking so long to tell us? They're just doing crisis management. The PR team is trying to figure out what to tell the fans. No, that's not the case. So Cole will be back. But in the meantime, what do the Yankees do to react to this? Don't overreact to this. Don't give up Spencer Jones for Dylan Cease. Oh, wait, you can't even do that. Dylan Cease traded to the San Diego Padres. They've got a pretty good rotation. Not for nothing. You guys see their rotation? Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove, familiar face in Michael King. Now you add Dylan Cease as probably the ace of that rotation. I mean, they already had hitters. Xander Bogaerts, Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr. I mean, good luck to the Padres. They got to deal with Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers. That's none of my business. It will be when we get going, though. I guarantee you when you hear me on these shows, let's fast forward in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. When you hear me doing this show till 2 a.m., I'm going to be going to the out-of-town scoreboard to say, hey, let's check in on those Dodgers. Let's see what's going on with the Diamondbacks. I'd like to take a look and see what the San Francisco Giants are doing just for fun. Just for fun, baseball time. It's coming up, so we're not throwing away a season. But now the Yankee universe waits to see how Hal and Cash react. Honestly, don't think they're going to sign anybody. But I'm using this microphone and the power of WFAN to plead with them. I came in tonight channeling my inner BT. Figure it out. We're unkillable. Stop walking around like losers. We're playing from now through October. Learn from the Jets' mistakes. The Jets thought that they had enough with Zach Wilson. The Jets didn't add a quarterback until weeks later. And it was Trevor Siemian. Not good enough. So please, Yankees, Hal Steinbrenner, Brian Cashman, figure it out and go add another starter. Whether it's Blake Snell, who you already offered. We know you already had interest. We know he's friends with Aaron Judge. He's familiar with Tampa. They're only in Tampa for a few more days. I'll be down there in 6 days. Bring Blake Snell in. Talk to Scott Boras. Pay what it's going to cost. You'll make that money back. And Brian Cashman, if you have to swallow your pride and admit that you made a mistake in trading Jordan Montgomery for a center fielder in a walking boot that you ended up putting on waivers the next season, swallow your pride. You did it with Stroman. 877-337-6666. Joe is in West Orange on the Fan in New York. Go, Joe, go. Joey. Okay, Joe fell asleep. I understand. You know, it's late. I said, stop walking around work like a loser. Maybe you're not at work. Some people are, though. Shout out to the people like me that work the night shift. Some people are in the bed, though. Some people got the AirPods in. They're listening to the show, and I try to bring the energy. I try to bring the different talking points and topics and news stories, but maybe the soothing voice just makes them go to... Let's go to Brendan in New Jersey on the Fan. What's up, Brendan?
How you doing? How you been?
I'm good. Hanging out.
Hey, two questions for you. Maybe you know these answers. One... If they go with a Blake Snell or they go with a Montgomery, are they against deferred money like they did with Ohtani to help offset that luxury tax?
No, well, the Ohtani thing, the deferred money with Ohtani is because we're talking about $700 million. With these guys, we're not even talking about $200 million. They don't have to defer any money. They're just going to have the 110% hit of the luxury tax where they're basically paying these guys double. But so what? They're worth $7 billion. They're supposed to be all in. They're supposed to be hell-bent on being a champion. They're supposed to be trying to get 28. They're supposed to be trying to end a 15-year drought. Like, I know for a fact how much money these guys make when they get going. Like, they said in the week that Aaron Judge was chasing 60 home runs, they made an extra $1 million at the stadium 2 years ago off of the added tickets and concessions. Like, I know they make enough money where they don't have to worry about it. I know for a fact that star insurance patch is an extra $25 million. I know the Yankees aren't broke, and if they actually wanted to put their money where their mouth is and prove to the fans that they are serious about winning, they could sign one of these guys, and they could just deal with that luxury tax. And even the picks, I got to look up the exact specifics of what will happen with that. But that is like that is so minor when you talk about losing the AL Cy Young winner and what it means to go into the season with Carlos Rodon as your best pitcher.
I agree with you, and I got one more question. I'll let you go. Now, with the luxury tax, if they sign, say, they sign Montgomery to the league minimum and stacked his contract with incentives, will those incentives go against the luxury tax, or is it purely just his base salary?
I think it's his base salary, like, this year and where they are with the payroll this year. And I can look up this stuff. I'm not a GM. I'm not a number cruncher guy. I'm not a business of baseball guy, period. But, like, I'm a fan. The business of baseball, I go to the stadium and spend money. I go to the stadium and watch the team. I don't care. I know for a fact that they make a lot of bread and that it's not going to cripple them at all to pay Jordan Montgomery whatever Scott Boras is looking for.
I agree with you, but I'm just thinking, as a organization trying to save some money, if they come in and say, we'll give you a league minimum, you throw 10 innings, here's $20 million for your incentive. Something like that.
Yeah, but
around the luxury cap.
They're not. You can't do that with these guys. These guys are all looking for a high AAV and a certain amount. Like, only league minimum pitcher out there is Trevor Bauer, and that's not happening.
I know.
There's just a certain rate and standard. Like, Blake Snell is the reigning NL Cy Young winner. This guy has an AL and NL Cy Young. He's not taking less money than Carlos Rodon, I would imagine. And even with Jordan Montgomery, I remember last year saying, how much is Monty going to get? $20 million a year, so I don't know the exact numbers, but I'll do the work to look all that stuff up right now and see two things, you know, what they're expecting. Like, I think they were rumored to be offering Blake Snell 6 years, $150 million originally, and then he turned that down, and then they pivoted to Marcus Stroman. Mm-hmm. And I got to look up the luxury tax where they are. They're right on the threshold. And that's why they don't want to sign these big name guys. But I just think push comes to shove here. You got to do it.
Oh, I think they need to do it as well. I just don't know if they get creative in trying to avoid that luxury tax and just, like I said, load it with incentives. a ridiculous incentive. You throw 10 innings, here's your $20 million.
Yeah, I think we try to simplify it like that, like 10 innings, yeah. But there's no way they actually write a contract like that.
I know.
Yeah,
worth a shot, my man. Well, I appreciate the time. Have a great night, my man.
Thanks for the call, Brennan. I'll do the work. And I know Fleegs is smarter than I am, so Fleegs might be able to, once he gets settled, help me out with, two things as far as the penalty. I know it's 110%. And then also the picks that you get docked for going over the Steve Cohen tax, the luxury tax. Right now, the Yankees 2024 total payroll is at $290,541,666. They right now have the highest payroll when you look at their 2024 team payroll on SpotTrack.com. They're just not trying to go any higher and get hit. But when you talk about Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery, that would obviously do that. And I don't know exactly the contract that these guys would be commanding. But, man, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to you. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to anybody that roots for the New York Yankees because they're not poor. If I Google the New York Yankees worth right now, I've been saying $7 billion. It might be more. New York Yankees worth. And I'm pretty sure I saw an article that came out. I compare the Yankees to the Dallas Cowboys a lot because they're both worth like over $7 billion. Yeah, New York Yankees worth $7.1 billion. Okay, the payroll is around $300 million. And they're going to end up paying, instead of paying Blake Snell $30 million, they'll end up paying him $65 million. They can afford it. That's what we're all saying. Now your hand has been forced. Now you have to go out there and sign a guy. Now you have to go out there and replace Gerrit Cole. And even if it's not, like, and that's why I go back to what I've been saying. Before I even knew Cole had the elbow, before I knew, he would miss time, I had been saying, Cole is your 1A. If you think you're getting in a World Series, you need a 1A and a 1B. That simple. You need two frontline starters. Now you don't have one. And you can't sell me on Carlos Rodon. I'm in here watching the spring training game. He looked better today. He was sitting at, I think, like 95, 96. Good. Good day for him to look better. But you can't sell me that, okay, all of a sudden now he's going to be the ace of your staff. Marcus Stroman pitches today. You also can't sell me that Stroman is going to be that guy after he missed a bunch of time. So that's where we're at. 877-337-6666. If you've crunched the numbers and you know this better than me, call up and tell me as I'm doing my Googles, as I'm trying to exactly figure it out. I know it's 110% once you cross that luxury tax threshold, and that's what would happen as the Yankees would be bringing in a Blake Snell contract or a Jordan Montgomery contract. But so what, man? Pay the cost to be the boss. Let's go to Chris in Inwood on the Fan. What's up, Chris?
What's up, my friend? How are you this evening?
I'm good. You know, just using this microphone for whoever can hear me to get the Yankees to respond right now and like go ahead and get one of these guys. This is what they've been waiting for. This is why Scott Boras hasn't signed his clients. They're waiting for somebody to get hurt. Okay, there you go. The Yankees, the highest payroll, the richest franchise in baseball. Like, okay, they need a guy. Well, I think it's a no-brainer.
I talked to you about this before spring's training started. I called a couple of weeks ago, and you know, we both agreed that, you know, unless somebody went down, they had decent pitching depth with Gill and the kid Weaver showed signs, and we were like, unless there's a disaster, they don't have to do anything. Well, here's a disaster. But see, that the problem I think that they're having right now is people are forgetting that Scott Boras is also the agent for Gerrit Cole. So he's going to hold them hostage now because he knows everything.
Okay. Right? And that's the business, and they knew that too. And talking about depth, depth is one thing. They have the depth, but this is supposed to be an all-in year. This is supposed to be a hell-bent on being a champion year. You just lost your ace. Like, we don't know when he's coming back or how effective he's going to be or what he's going to be.
And you know, let me say this. You know how the agent's thinking. He's caring about his long-term commission the same way he's caring about the long-term career of his client. So, if anything, he's going to recommend, if there's something really wrong with that elbow, Scott Boras is going to say, no, you got to. He needs to have the surgery, and I'm going to give you Blake Snell. That's what's going on right now behind the scenes, probably.
Yeah, I call Boras baseball's Bond villain, and I just think that he's like, ha, 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 ha. He's got the evil laugh right now. Like, I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah, all of his guys, he held them out. I think that Bellinger, you know, signing that shorter, you know, lower salary deal probably pushed his own hand, probably didn't want to wait. But Snell and Montgomery, these guys have paid their dues. They're in the league a long time. They both proved they could pitch in the postseason. Snell obviously has two Cy Youngs on both sides. They have every right to wait it out. And why not? It's not like they're desolate. If they miss a few paychecks, they're worried about their financial status. We both know that's not an issue. So I don't blame the two pitchers. Do I blame the agent? I don't know. If you and I were him also, we would be looking to make the most too. But with that said, I think they're in a pickle right now because they do want Snell, and their agent obviously knows everything that's going on with his client. So I think that complicates it.
Yeah, it's a cold game. Thanks for the call, Chris. Cold game, cold world, no blanket now. You don't have Gerrit Cole, you got to make a move. And I don't think that it's a crazy move to bring in a guy like Blake Snell, who you already offered this offseason. I also don't think it's a crazy move to bring in Jordan Montgomery, a guy that you made a mistake in trading that you could make right. A guy that you literally birthed into Major League Baseball. The story writes itself. This is story writing time. This is the plot twist. This is the adversity hitting before opening day. The Yankees have the pen. They can sit back, sit on their hands. They can act like this is fine. This is perfectly fine. We've got the depth. It's Luke Weaver season. Or they could say, no, 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 no. We have Juan Soto here. That's the biggest thing, folks. We haven't used that name too much. But it's not a guarantee that Juan Soto re-signs with the Yankees. So having Juan Soto here, you stack the deck around a Juan Soto. You stack the deck around a Juan Soto-Judge combination in your lineup. You can't sell me on Carlos Rodon, Marcus Stroman, Nestor Cortez, three guys that missed time last year, staying healthy all year. What happens if one of those guys goes down? And if one of those guys goes down and Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery are signed elsewhere, like you've already seen this offseason, Corbin Burns, a target of the Yankees, go to a division rival in the Orioles. And then the word was that they weren't going to give up Spencer Jones. Okay, got it. I wouldn't give up Spencer Jones either. Same thing with Dylan Cease now. Because what do you think the White Sox are asking for? The first, hey, Spencer Jones. No Spencer Jones. Jason Dominguez. No. And you've hugged prospects. You know, the latest Cashman masterclass, Oswald Peraza, has no value to anyone. And he's hurt. I said on the Fan tonight, man, two seasons ago, at the deadline, if they parted ways with Peraza and a couple other guys, I think they could have had Luis Castillo. I think Castillo could be here right now as the 1B to your 1A. And who knows how last year would have gone with Luis Castillo. Maybe he would have been a little bit better. I don't know. I don't know. And I also don't know what's about to happen this season. But I know that the Yankees have to be considering, as they've taken all this time, right, to figure out how to tell us the news, how to break the story, how to put the words out there about what's happening with Judge and Cole. I hope behind the scenes they are trying to figure out how to bring more pitching in here. Stay on the line if you want to talk Snell, Montgomery, pitching. I did want to bring in some conversation around the New York Jets. I've already built up Joe Douglas. I have nothing to say about Aaron Rodgers, Robert F. Kennedy, the vice president stuff. To me, I can't give it any more airtime. But to the folks that say Aaron Rodgers is the assistant GM and he makes all the moves, nah, he's been quiet right now. He's done some podcasts. You got to tip your cap to Joe Douglas and the moves that he's made. I am waiting for him next to bring in a wide receiver. I don't know exactly who that's going to be. I don't know exactly who's left. I mean, we saw Calvin Ridley to the Titans, and we're still waiting to find out where T. Higgins is going to go, but let's bring in a call about the Jets right now. Cole is down in Fort Lauderdale. Cole, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on?
You know, hanging out.
Yeah, so I just wanted to talk about the Jets. I mean, I saw they traded for Morgan Moses. I was a little happy, you know. I got some mixed, you know, feelings about it. I mean, he's a good player, but it just makes me worry about what we're going to do in the draft now because, I mean, if we go with Bowers at 10, like, I feel like that'll just, you know, go down the drain, because I feel like we could still get a prominent left tackle. But knowing the Jets, I feel like they're going to take Bowers at 10 now.
Nah, I wouldn't think that they're going to take Bowers at 10, because taking a tight end at 10 is ridiculous. Taking a tight end in this modern-day NFL, taking a tight end at 10 when you have Tyler Conklin, when you also have, what's bro's name? From
Jeremy Rucker.
Yes, from Ohio State, from Long Island. Yeah, you don't take a Brock Bowers at 10. You take your future left tackle at 10. And I think Fashanu might be there out of Penn State. Joe Alt won't be there, in my opinion. But Talies Fuanga out of Oregon State. And I think I saw the kid Mims was talking about how he would love to play. The kid coming out of...
Yeah, he said he would love to block for Rodgers.
The
kid
coming out of Georgia. So there's going to be some options there depending on who they like. I think that has left tackle written all over it. And if you saw Brian Costello's tweet today, he basically said that's open there for them to do that. The writing is on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I think if they don't go tackle, then they could they'd obviously have to go receiver. But even at that rate, I mean, who would really be there? I mean, Neighbors
Rome,
would be gone.
If Malik Neighbors ends up going to the Giants at 6, if Rome Odunze is there and the Bears don't take it, if Rome Odunze falls to 10, that is a great pick for the Jets.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I feel like, you know, I remember Garrett Wilson maybe a month ago was trying to recruit him to the Jets. But I feel like if you have, you know, them two as like a 1-2 punch, that really makes the offense exciting with Rodgers throwing them the ball.
It could happen.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Cole. So going back to the conversation around Blake Snell, my boy Matthew Orso, who works at MLB Network, Matt with the stats, he put out a tweet a while ago where he said, call me crazy, but what if the Yankees did the regarding with Blake Snell's contract? 10 years, $200 million, front load the deal, $30 million in 2024, $35 million in 2025, 2026, a player opt out after the 2026 season with 7 years for $100 million remaining. The luxury tax would be on the $20 million AAV. Would this work? So I'm trying to figure out the numbers around what they could do right now with Blake Snell, what they could do to potentially offer Blake Snell. It's just, like I said, they offered him something early on, and he declined it, and then they pivoted to Marcus Stroman, and once they paid Stroman and their luxury tax got up to close to $300 million where it is, They didn't want to pay 110%. They didn't want to go over the tax. But now your hand is forced, in my humble opinion. Jack is in Wilton, Connecticut. Jack, you're on the Fan.
How you doing, man?
Good, hanging out. What you got?
Well, you covered a little bit of it there, but you know, I just wanted to talk about those numbers. So you sign Snell, you lose the second round pick and the fifth round pick in the draft.
Okay.
Not the end of the world, but Yankees got to get the assets.
Don't care.
But again, exactly. You don't care. But anyway, you had said you sort of want to know those things.
Thank you for the information. I don't care about a second round and fifth round pick in the draft that, like, we're trying to win the World Series. We might never hear from them.
Exactly.
But yes, go on. You have the information that I'm seeking.
Well, yes. So the Cohen tax threshold is $297 million. Yankees currently sit at 307 to 310. That's why when they passed in on Enrique Wilson, it was interesting that they were willing to pay $4 million for a bench player, because it would really be about $8 million. So that was sort of an interesting sign that the Yankees still have a little bit more money to spend.
Yeah.
There's a margin. But you're right. It is go for broke time. The reason, you know, this is why you go for championships in a window. Because we've seen what happened with Judge in the toe. We've seen what is possibly going to happen with Cole in the elbow.
We've seen what has happened to Giancarlo Stanton, Rizzo. These guys are over the hill.
Excuse me. Yes. Go for the throat. Where are the go for the throat Yankees? Get that extra piece to say, screw it. We're the Yankees, and we're going to make sure you don't even think you could ever win. Those Yankees are gone.
You're 100% correct.
The boss has to prove it. He has to show us. Mr. Reset the cap twice during a championship window, Hal Steinbrenner, he's got to show up.
Great call, and thanks for the information, Jack. But the second round, fifth round pick is information I needed. where the Yankees are in the luxury tax and what it would do is what I need. But the biggest part of that call is that where are the go-for-the-throat Yankees? Where are the Yankees that say, no. Like, we are all in. We lost Gerrit Cole for a couple months. Boom, here's another move just to reassure everybody that, like, no, we are trying to win the World Series this year. We are the New York Yankees. They're not like that anymore. That's what I said before. I'm like, desperate times call for desperate measures, but are you actually desperate? Are you desperate enough to do what it takes? I am, but I don't get to make any of those decisions. Are you actually what you say you are? The fans screamed, fire Brian Cashman for all the mistakes, all the players he passed on, the money that he spent in places that we felt like it shouldn't be spent, like $6 million in dead money this year. What did I say to y'all when Josh Donaldson retired last week? I said every dollar counts. Every million counts. Someone said to me, oh, it's only $6 million. It counts. The fans screamed, fire Brian Cashman, but they didn't fire Brian Cashman. So this is still his operation. They're still operating under his ways. And, like, is this enough to make a change? Is Gerrit Cole potentially being out for 2-3 months? Who knows? It could get worse. Today, I think, was a good day. Or yesterday, rather. Now it's Thursday. Hello, good morning. Yesterday was a good day as far as not hearing that your ace is done for the year, not hearing that there's a tear in the UCL, not hearing that Tommy John surgery is needed. That was positive. But it's going to be a bad day for Yankees fans today, tomorrow, forever, if the Yankees continue to operate on, oh, we're good. Oh, we got depth. Yeah, we traded away a ton of pitching depth over the years. We traded away J.P. Sears, Ken Waldichuk, Luis Medina for Frankie Montas. How many starts did Frankie Montas make? Lou Trevino, who's still here on the 60-day IL. Yeah, we traded away a bunch of pitching depth in the deal to get Juan Soto. Well, keep going. Juan Soto could be here and be like, I don't know, bro. This team is not what I thought it was without the AL Cy Young winner. That's tough. Who knows? Maybe he says, well, and I said this about Soto too. The one scenario that I see where it's like, yo, Soto dips out of here and just goes across town is if this season gets derailed and the Yankees lose. And he's like, whatever, I've lost everywhere. I was on the highest payroll team the Padres ever had, and we lost a bunch of games, missed the postseason. I was on a national team that won the World Series, and then we lost a bunch of guys and just kept losing. I want the most money. I'll go across town to the Mets. If we lose over there, so be it. I'll be the richest player in the sport next to Ohtani, maybe even more than Ohtani, if that's what he wishes and if that's what Steve Cohen is willing to do. Bum, bum, bum. We got a break. 877-337-6666. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A high pop-up. He's going to do it. At shortstop, Jeter. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Okay, thanks for waiting through the five-minute break. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's get right back to the calls in the show. We're talking about what the Yankees should do now that Gerrit Cole is compromised for the first 2 months of the season. And really, it could be longer. Really, we don't know what's going to come from this evaluation, his rest, whatever. I think the Yankees have to act. Earlier, I talked about watching the first spring training game for the Mets this year. I don't do spring training as far as like I don't. I understand people are so into baseball and so hype about baseball returning. I watched the first couple games, but I can't, like, by the second week, I'm over these fake games. I'm over exhibition. Like, I'll see the highlights on SNY, Yes Network, online, and I move on. But tonight, I couldn't stand to watch the Brooklyn Nets, and the Yankees weren't on. So I actually had eyes on the Make It Happen Mets, and I dubbed them the Make It Happen Mets 2 years ago. And they got to get back to making it happen, and they literally made it happen a bunch of times tonight. I talked about how Luis Severino looked and how if Sevy is healthy, he ain't no bum. Like, he was trash last year because he wasn't healthy. He ended the season hurt, and he was tipping his pitches. But I think he's gotten right now, and you can look forward to seeing bearded Sevy getting back to being a dog. You also saw Mark Vientos pimp a home run, flip his bat, and look like you want him to look. That's a good sign. Also, they won. They beat the Astros. And the broadcast, they were talking about, hey, I think it was Steve Gelbs, was like, this is it. No matter what happens here, this is it. We're not going extra innings. Didn't need extra innings. I think it was Austin Allen was able to double in the game-winning run, 6-5. So let's talk Mets for a second before we get back to all the Yankee calls. Mike is in South Boundbrook. Mike, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. So, it's going well.
Yeah, so, you know, Mets, I don't know. I don't see them as a playoff team. And when they start, you know, talking about J.D. Davis and bringing him back, you know, I didn't like him when he was a Met, and I don't like him now. Do you think that that would be something that would help the Mets, that bringing him back here? I mean, I don't see that at all. And, you know, we lost our ace. I don't know when he's coming back. That's a big problem. So I don't know, man. I don't see this Mets team. It's like more mediocrity coming our way. You know, when they talk about bringing J.D. Davis, they tell me, well, we don't really care about winning, or we don't know what we're doing, one or the other. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I disagree. Thanks for the call, Mike. I've been talking about the Mets all night. I talked about them in my open, and I'll reiterate it because I know some people are just kind of popping in now. The show started a little bit after 10 o'clock. I would go J.D. Martinez over J.D. Davis. I think you're struggling still to just have a DH. You need protection for Pete Alonso. You need a quote-unquote stick in this lineup, like Evan Roberts says. J.D. Martinez is out there. There's mutual interest. And as we're talking about the luxury tax, I was reading an article about how Steve Cohen says, yeah, whatever, to hell with the luxury tax. Like, sign him. And it's between you, the Angels, and the Marlins. And I think J.D. Martinez, after turning down the San Francisco Giants, wants to come to New York, not the Yankee side, to the Mets side. So go get him. Kodai Senga, you know, last I read with Kodai Senga, he had a PRP shot, and he's going to resume throwing. He got a promising update. Might need some extra time, but he's going to resume throwing, I think, the week after opening day. Your opening day starter will be Jose Quintana. But I get it, right? The Met fan has heard other Mets fans say, they didn't sign anybody. David Stern sucks. He signed a bunch of no-name guys. But if you're paying attention to what's coming out of spring training, your rotation has looked pretty decent. If your rotation looked like bums, there'd be more panic. Also, I keep talking about the three buckets of guys that you have, and what I say that for a reason, because you can't just blanket the whole team and say they're bums, they're scrubs. You have guys that have made their money. You have Francisco Lindor. You have Starling Marte, Brandon Nimmo, Jeff McNeil, guys that you paid, that you expect to play like major league players. And they have motivation. Jeff McNeil's got motivation to get back to looking like a batting champ. Francisco Lindor's got motivation, man, to just start the season off hot, be the leader of the team. Starling Marte said he feels like he can play 170 games. If he gets back to looking like the guy, bodes well for you. The second bucket of guys is the Harrison Baders, the Luis Severinos, the Sean Manaias, even a Joey Wendell, or, you know, you're seeing these guys like Trace Thompson in spring, DJ Stewart. These guys that are trying to prove that they belong, that they are pro ball players, that they belong in the show, and they're with the Mets trying to stick, and maybe they have good years. And then the last bucket is the young guys, the baby Mets. Mark Vientos tonight. Brett Beatty went yard last week. You saw Francisco Alvarez showing you what he can do. These guys that are trying to show that they belong at this level, and that they're not just rookies anymore or young guys anymore, and they can make an impact and be star players. So I get it, because the noise is so loud over the last few months. You miss out on Yamamoto. It's a philosophy change with Milwaukee, the man from Milwaukee, David Stearns, approaching New York City like these are the Milwaukee Mets small market. And yes, shout out to my TikTok chat, Pete too. Don't forget about Pete. Yeah, Pete Alonso. He hasn't gotten paid, but he's got a lot to prove. He falls into the bucket of your core Mets. He hasn't got his money, but he knows if he goes out there and hits 45 home runs and helps the team win, he's going to get paid. So I just look at the Mets like, man, there's such a mob mentality. There's such a pile-on mentality of, this team sucks. They're punting. This team sucks. Nah, I don't know about this team. You're not supposed to know. None of us know. Now Yankee fans who are all saying, Juan Soto, here we go, World Series. We don't know, but that's why we watch, and that's why we have these shows all day. That's why they don't turn this radio station off. Every few hours, you get a new voice telling you something about the Mets, the Yankees, the news that's coming in. None of us know anything, but we're about to watch this season, and we'll see. Maybe the Mets get off to a hot start. Maybe the Braves struggle. Like, I don't know. I believe in just wait and see, watch. And I also believe in these are millionaire ball players that are going to go out there not trying to fail. These are professional ball players that have a lot of pride and confidence in the name on the front and back of the jersey and going out there and not just getting rolled over. You as fans are easily rolled over because you didn't get Yamamoto, because Ohtani didn't want to sign. Like, that doesn't mean anything, man. It's a baseball team. The last thing I'll say before we go back to the phones and talk to the Yankee fans about Blake Snell and what the Yankees are going to do without Gerrit Cole being able to start the first couple months is nobody can predict baseball. That's baseball, Susan. Joe is in Rahway. Joe, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, what's going on, man?
You know, watching Yankee spring training and looking up different things online, taking calls, hosting the show.
Very cool, very cool. Hey, man, help me understand something. So Blake Snell, right, he's been in the league 8 years. He only has two seasons where he's had over 10 wins, his 2018 season where he had 21 wins. And last year we have 14 wins. Other than that, he's been 6-9, 6-7, 6-8, 4-2, 7-5, 8-10, and then last year 14-9. So explain to me how he's worth with the luxury tax over $50 million for 14 wins when he's only done it twice out of his 8-year career. Like, that makes no sense to me how he's worth that kind of money. You know, to be basically an average pitcher. He's averaged like 9 wins a year his whole career. So how is he worth that money?
Thanks for the call, Joe. Hang up and listen, or I'll hang up for you and you can listen. Not being, not being mean or anything, but like, listen. One, it's the market. It's what these guys are getting paid. Carlos Rodon got a 6-year, $162 million contract. What are we talking about? Wins? They're not basing it off of wins. Nobody's looking at these pitchers' wins. Because wins, the games they win, you could pitch a good game and not get awarded the win once you come out of the game. Look at Snell. Snell doesn't go deep in the games. So there's a lot of times where, no, he can't get the victory. He can't get the win because he came out in the 5th, 6th inning. So the bullpen ends up blowing a game. I also look at him being on some of the Rays teams. Like, he did go to the World Series, famously. Kevin Cash took him out. And then even with the Padres the last couple years, yo, they failed. They had different managers. They had a lot of other guys not perform. That's not on Blake Snell. He's a dominant left-handed pitcher, and he's got hardware that, like, not too many other guys can say they have. He's got a AL and NL Cy Young. He's a guy that is proven in this league. He's a guy that's going to command that money. It is what it is. It's his time to get paid. And what it is the circumstance. So, Joe, when you said that, it's also the circumstance. Why is he worth that money to the Yankees right now? Because Gerrit Cole is hurt. I say that as a Yankee fan. The Yankees may disagree. The Yankees offered him a contract, allegedly 6 years, $150 million. That offer, I believe, is off the table. Maybe they revisit it. Maybe they don't. Maybe he's not actually worth paying double, losing picks, going over the luxury tax. So get ready to watch Luke Weaver pitch. And then, I don't know, Blake Snell be an angel. Zach is in Monroe. Next up on the Fan, go Zach, go.
Hey, what's up, Keith? Thanks for taking my call, man.
No doubt.
So I just wanted to talk really quick about Austin Wells and just some of the Yankees catchers that they even have in the system. So I actually think Austin Wells is like a beast. He's hitting like crazy this spring. I'm pretty sure he had a double today, I think it was, and he had a home run in back-to-back games. I think he could be like an everyday catcher. You know, I saw somewhere that they want to platoon him with Trevino. I think they should just ditch that idea. I think Trevino is a great defensive catcher, and, you know, he can come through with a hit here and there, but I think Wells just needs to play every day. He's another lefty bat, so I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't. I don't know why they wouldn't, you know what I mean? Even in the minor leagues, they have Ben Rice and Augustin Ramirez, who I think are also just two beasts also.
Yeah, they're also kids. Thanks for the call, Zach. You might want to check on whatever's going on in the background. You might want to handle that. I don't know. That sounds like somebody's upset. This is why I don't like spring training. This is why I don't get too deep into spring training. Shout out to Austin Wells, though. I remember when they drafted him out of Arizona. I've seen this guy coming through. We remember hearing about Chicken Parm Volpe and how Volpe fixed his swing last year because he had Chicken Parm dinner, and Austin Wells came over and was like, hey, man, you need to do this like you were doing in AAA. And just like, you guys got to chill with the spring training. Like, we're talking about Ben Rice. Like, we're talking about Austin Wells. Austin Wells came up as a September call-up last year. Austin Wells, he looks great in spring training. It's spring training. Now, do I think Trevino is that much better than the guy? Not necessarily, but Trevino is a platinum glove catcher in this league, a veteran in this league, an all-star in this league, a guy that was hurt last year that's healthy this year. It's Trevino's job. And Austin Wells may platoon and spell him. I love the fact that Austin Wells is a hitter and a left-handed hitter at that. But he's young. How old is Austin Wells, bros? 24? Is he even 24? He's 24. Thanks, Google. We just got to pump our brakes on being like, yeah, I think Austin Wells should be the everyday starter. It doesn't work like that, bro. Like, they'll give Ben Rortvedt the nod. Ben Rortvedt helped Cole win a Cy Young last year. It's Austin Wells and Trevino. I just would chill on just like seeing like spring training home runs and doubles and thinking this guy's a major league caliber player. Because when he comes up and he struggles, then what? I mean, we also have Gary Sanchez here for a while. I don't know. I like Austin Wells. What I'll say is I hope he gets an opportunity to platoon with Jose Trevino. But Trevino is a platinum glove catcher, an all-star in this league, a guy that was a starter in Texas, was a starter for your Yankees when they went to the ALCS 2 years ago. They're going to go with him first, and those guys will work together. If you remember correctly, Kyle Higashioka was here, and in spring training a couple years back, they traded for Trevino. And he came in, and then they worked together in tandem. And I think what you miss with Trevino, you don't see the behind-the-scenes stuff. And shout-out to Trevi. I've gotten to meet him. He's a Dallas Cowboys fan. He's a Yankee fan as well. We have that in common. But he grew up out in Texas rooting for the Yankees. What you don't see about Trevino is his preparation, his attention to detail, how he helps these pitchers prepare for games, how he calls games, how he catches games, the trust that he has with these guys as a pro. Austin Wells is still working on that. He might be more impressive to you at the plate in spring training But I wish him the best. I hope to see him at the major league level this year with the New York Yankees. Let's go to Middletown and talk to Michael. What's up, Michael? You're on the Fan.
Hey, good evening, Keith. How you doing?
I'm good, Mike.
So before you tell me this idea is crazy, I'm not a huge fan of him, but I know Trevor Bauer is available. I know he's going to take the major league minimum, which is only like $750,000. He's a great talent. I know he's been a clubhouse cancer. He has issues. Maybe getting locked down a little bit, getting out of the league for a couple of years, maybe humble them up a little bit, maybe be a different person. What's your opinion on possibly getting Trevor Bauer, giving him a flyer? You know, it won't cost much money, won't affect the luxury tax. You don't have to give up any prospects.
Mike, did you go to Middletown North or South?
I just moved up to Middletown a couple of years ago.
Okay.
I'm originally from the city, from Queens.
Word. Queens get the money. Thanks for the call, Michael. I'm tired of talking about Trevor Bauer, yo. I really am. I can't, bros. I can't. I cannot. So, with Trevor Bauer, we got to keep reiterating this. Nobody's going to touch him. It's not an option. The Asian Breeze signed him to a 10-day contract. He's not an option for the Mets or the Yankees. He was sitting right here where I am in this studio. I say these same things over and over and over again. And I know some of you guys don't hear every show. I know some of you guys don't listen all the time. But this Trevor Bauer as an option and you guys calling the Fan to almost campaign for him, it's nonsense. It is absolute garbage. This is a guy that put women in the hospital I don't even want to talk about what he did. There's a reason why he's blackballed right now. There's a reason why they won't touch him right now. Even for the league minimum. He's cooked. He's done. His bravado, his personality, what he said about Manfred, there are people looking at him saying, good, you got what you deserved. You got this big contract from the Dodgers, and you pissed it all away because you wanted to slide into DMs or let any random chick slide into your DM, and then you're doing all this crazy stuff that you think in the dark won't come to the light. And now that's what you're known for. And nobody in this league right now is that desperate for pitching where they're going to bring in a guy who, as soon as you do that, every single person that wants to show up to boycott your team or show up to the ballpark to put attention, negative attention on you, is not worth it. The juice ain't worth the squeeze. We don't even know if he's that great coming from the Bay Stars in the NPB. I'm trying to find a text from my boy Joe the Librarian. Yankee fans are familiar with his work online. Him and I used to work for Bronx Pinstripes many moons ago when Bronx Pinstripes was actually a thing. And he was sending me the stuff from the Lindsey Hill chick. And how, like, yeah, right now they're chilling. And the last thing I'll say about it is Deshaun Watson, right? Remember how Deshaun Watson had started off with like 5 women. Then it was 10. Then it was 15. Then it was 20. Then it was 23. They're waiting right now. They're waiting for a team to take a chance on Trevor Bauer for the league minimum so that the rest of these women, who knows how many there are, can pop out. And we keep talking about, he's never been charged. He's never been charged. The case got dismissed. Okay. Okay. There's a reason why he is not on a team. There's a reason why nobody will touch this guy. And it's not happening for your New York Yankees. They will not do it. They will not do it. They're not, they will not do it. I'm getting like, not angry about it, but like loud about it. Because, like, I've taken so many calls on Trevor Bauer. For what, yo? He's not signing with anybody. He's not signing with the Kansas City Royals. He's not signing with the Minnesota Twins. He's not signing with any of these teams for a reason. He's not worth it. Not for league minimum. Not for the S-storm that's going to come with this guy. Oh, look. I think I found the tweets. So while we're on it, let's do it. And it's late enough at night before we go to the break. So this Lindsey Hill chick is on Twitter, but she's low on Twitter because it's Twitter and you can't really see it's her. So she's out there basically saying, you know, someone says in a tweet, I have been ranting on this the last couple months. Bauer is scared of the MLB investigation being made public. That's why he settled his case. And she replied, it's exactly why he settled, because I would have used every single piece of evidence from all the victims in the investigation that was never public. So people that are even coming through with the, oh, this one gold digger chick, right? This one girl who tried to blackmail him. It's not just one. You just know the one famous chick and you know that viral video of her smiling in bed. And yeah, she had some ulterior motives. And yeah, she was exposed for that. But this guy had a pattern of this. This guy liked to do some weird, I like can't even say. So she also goes on to say, to be clear, none of the women involved in the Bauer investigation, including myself, want to be talking about this. All we have wanted is to move on with our lives for years now, but Trevor continues to lie and drag us through the media repeatedly. The more he lies, the more we were forced to speak up and vindicate ourselves again after we already did the MLB arbitration hearing. The death threats, including hundreds made to me and my family, have to stop. I'm not scared of Trevor Bauer anymore. Neither are any of the women. The public has seen 1/10. She says the public has seen 1/10 of the evidence that has traumatized multiple women and their families for years. And I hate to speak to this, bro, but like this is something that I learned about in college. I have girls that I've dated, girls that I'm friends with that have either been taken advantage of or have been harassed or something done to. It is not the type of thing that you want to go parade around and talk about. I used the comparison to Deshaun Watson, and those women didn't even want to be talked about because it's just like these women want to move on with their lives and act like this never happened. But I tell you this, the first team, no matter what city it is, and I don't think it's going to happen, to take a chance on league minimum Trevor Bauer, he's out there campaigning, it will be a can of worms with this guy. So please do not call my show for the rest of time suggesting that the New York Yankees sign Trevor Bauer. It's not happening, and I don't want it to happen. As the son of a single mother, as the brother of a younger sister, as a married man, as a man that has a son and may have a daughter one day, yo, I want to stay far away from that. I don't want to know anything more about what this guy like to do in his bedroom. 877-337-6666. 1 hour to go. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.